Joe Josh and Paul Chules. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you both?
Very well, thank you for a Monday morning.
Blooming, yes. Darling.
We're going to be talking about the new restrictions on taking electrical equipment on flights. Now, this is new to me. What does this actually mean?
Well, Britain have taken the same sort of stance as the US have done with regards to the banning of certain electrical items being taken into the cabin. Mm-hmm. Now, the countries that are affected for flights directly into the UK are Turkey, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia and Lebanon. So there are two or three countries there which are very popular with tourists. Now, with immediate effect, any electronic device larger than a mobile phone...
To be absolutely exact, they say 16 centimetres in length, 9.3 centimetres in width, or 1.5 centimetres, which really isn't much, actually, in depth. So it's like a slim mobile phone. Anything else is not allowed.
Yeah, so for example...
Kindles aren't allowed.
Yeah, so yeah. Laptops, yeah. Kindles, e-readers, even gaming devices aren't allowed to be taken into the cabin. Now, that doesn't mean they can't be taken on holiday, but they must be put into the hold luggage and checked in, mm-hmm. you know, with your usual luggage.
Which does cause some problems because a lot of typical travel insurance policies don't cover laptops and tablets for loss or theft if placed actually in the hold. So it's going to give headaches to both carriers and their passengers.
Yeah, absolutely. The advice would be, well, always to lock your hold luggage. It's amazing how many people actually don't lock that. Yeah. But also, if you are going to take these pieces of equipment with you to these destinations, you must check with your insurers that those items are actually covered on the insurance, because it's quite expensive to have to replace those. Now, this has been brought into being because of intelligence that the governments have received. And also, back in 2016, a flight leaving Mogadishu in Somalia was attempted to be brought down by a device concealed in a laptop. Now, thankfully, the plane was able to land safely, but it did cause an explosion and cause a hole in the cabin.
If the plane had been higher at the time the explosion happened, then it would most definitely have come down. So that is what started it. But obviously, further information has come in recently saying that there is a heightened risk, or I should say, there is, of course, President Trump's attitude towards specific countries, and it doesn't take an enormous amount of intelligence and geographical knowledge to see that these countries are universally Muslim countries.
Predominantly Muslim, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the UK airlines that are affected, British Airways, EasyJet, Jetcom, Monarch, Thomas Cook and Thompson. And also, remembering, these are flights originating from Turkey and the other countries mentioned into the UK, but obviously if you're flying back there again, I would imagine the same restrictions may well apply.
The flights from other countries, the airlines affected, are Turkish Airlines, Pegasus, Atlas Global Airlines, Middle East Airlines, Egypt Air, Royal Jordanian, Tunis Air and Saudi Air. But it is worth appreciating that in real terms of risk, then it's entirely possible that somebody would choose to fly in from Amsterdam or Paris from a European destination rather than directly from one of those countries.
I mean, it is quite unusual when you have a possible, I mean, obviously this is a possible threat, and we all want heightened security to make sure everyone's safe, but it's quite unusual that if there is a perceived threat, that it isn't a ban that's issued globally. It's quite it's very unusual just to have specific countries targeted.
Well, when there was, you may remember, the shoe bombing plot,
yes,
which was 2001, which sparked everybody having their footwear checked, having to take your shoes off, as we still do, and the restrictions that followed the attempt to detonate liquid explosive disguised as soft drinks we were talking just because we came, before we came on air, and your son could have his juice, but you couldn't have your water to take
yes,
with you.
Yes, this was actually Jersey Airport. We flew back from Jersey, and I had a bottle of his fruit shoot, and I had a bottle of water, and they says, right, you can take that, but you can't take that. And I'm like, excuse me? So, I do understand it, but do you think maybe they're going a little bit too far?
Well, there were 700 comments on one report of this story online, because I was looking to see what the reaction had been, and unanimously, virtually, they were saying, why are you doing this? It's not going to achieve anything, and it's just going to cause more reaction, more hostility, more entrenched attitudes. And I guess that's true.
Yeah. I think the questions are, why are certain countries targeted and it's not a globally enforced policy?
Exactly.
And the airlines are also saying, oh, the repercussions could be things such as people needing to check in a bit earlier, get through security earlier, because there will be hold-ups, there will be longer queues, longer time getting through security, there will possibly be delays for flights as well, with security taking longer. And also the airlines are worried about the phenomenon of people travelling with hand luggage only. A lot of people will go away maybe for a short break, just take hand luggage. Yeah. If they want to take their devices with them, we'll have to then pay the extra for baggage, which they don't usually do. So there is also, you know, that ripple effect that it may affect passenger numbers and also passenger confidence as well.
Also, there is again thoughts within the industry that this sort of thing could be extended. So it won't just be those countries. It could be everybody. It could be everywhere. And most people do sit happily playing with their tablet on a long flight.
That's like my son.
We're just used to it, yeah. Like your son. What are you going to do with him?
Well, quite on a lighter note, Royal Jordanian, one of the airlines affected by the ban, have tweeted, we can get back to the art of conversation, we can get to know our fellow passengers, read a book, or even do, and this is a quoting from the Jordanian airline website, do what Jordanians do best and just stare at people. So they're trying to look at the light side of
it. They really know how to make friends, those guys, yeah. And also on a lighter note, you may remember we did a story about British Airways selling Marks and Spencer's food, because in January they stopped doing their own free food. Mm-hmm. And you bought Marks and Spencer's. Well, there's since been very many complaints because...
Oops.
Well, it's not the food. It's the fact that the food does not reach the passengers on a four-hour flight, quote, to Madeira, before they land, because each item is bought with a chip and pin system. You can't just swipe. Which means that card payments, they do no cash payments, take forever. And if you were in row 28 on a particular flight, you were stuffed, but there have been quite a lot of comments about it. They say, customers are telling us that they really appreciate the choice and quality of the M&S range available, and they have already bought hundreds of thousands of items since they were introduced, gushes a spokesman, completely ignoring the many famished souls who've been completely unable to indulge as the trolley inches its way through the plane, always in the distance, never quite near enough.
So not only can you not play with your iPad, you can't eat even, Al. You can't take your liquids on board. Hey, let's get a boat across to Spain or somewhere.
It may well be that way.
Is that what we're coming to?
Stock up with sarnies in the departure lounge. That's what we say. Stock up there.
Sounds like we're going to have to. I mean, I'm going to Germany in July. Am I safe? Am I going to get fed? Am I going to be able to take my iPad with me?
It entirely depends on who you're flying with.
I think I'll start walking.
And seriously, if people listening, it is worth checking with your airline before you
definitely.
Fly.
Yeah.
About any possible restrictions, because the picture is changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the
I mean,
time.
At the moment, the information we've been given are just on those six countries mentioned, but it's an indefinite. There's been no timescale put on, and there's a good chance that it will be extended to other destinations and other carriers.
Right, so air travel is not going to be the best form of travel by the sound of it in the future. I mean, I know we take the mickey, but you do have to look on both sides, I guess. You do have to laugh about it, otherwise what else are you going to do? But yes, well, might be easier to go by train or, like I said, by boat.
Oh, we're quite a resilient lot, travellers, I think.
Oh, and yes.
The majority take it in their stride. And ultimately, I mean, these things aren't done to deliberately inconvenience people.
Safety first is the main priority. I think we'd all prefer that, really.
But just going back on that, British Airways only accepting chip and pin payments for food. I've recently been on a flight, and it wasn't with British Airways, and luckily the carrier did take payment by any kind of currency. I was sitting in front of someone who's trying to buy their duty-free, rather a large amount, using their card, and the machine wouldn't work. He couldn't purchase, didn't have enough money in currency, couldn't purchase it because the card reader went down. So I can imagine that there's going to be all sorts of problems with people wanting to buy their M&S food if the card readers decide
and
to go down.
You know, 4 hours, while it's referred to as short haul, is a long time.
It is, especially when you've got a seven-year-old beside you. Mummy, can I have a snack pack? And we haven't even taken off yet.
Yes.
Right, so Paul and Joe, thank
you. Are we there,
In a minute. We'll be there shortly. It's Tess Lucy on Susie Radio.
Sussex and Surrey's 103.4. Susie Radio.
And in the studio now, I'm talking to Paul Chules and Joe Josh from Travel Matters. And we've just been having a bit of a laugh, really. You've got to laugh, haven't you? Otherwise, what would you do? You'd probably just cry about things.
I was actually contemplating banging my head repetitively against the wall, you know.
There is that as well. Yes, there is that as well.
Certain appeal.
But Paul, you were saying you've just come back from Verona. You'd like to talk about that briefly.
Yeah, luckily I've just come back from a three-night stay to Verona, my first ever trip to Italy. And
look,
I just
wanted
to share with your listeners what a fabulous place Verona is, and also what a great base it is to see other Italian cities. Luckily, where we are, Gatwick, we've got two daily flights to Verona with EasyJet and British Airways. Make sure you've got your credit card handy for your food, airline. And it's under a two-hour flight to Verona. And Verona itself is a fantastic, typically Italian small city. You can get round there on foot easily within 20 minutes. It's the home place of the reputed Juliet's Balcony, which is very, very worth having a little look at in the side streets there. And it's got the most wonderful arena where they hold opera during June to September. Mm-hmm. When I was there, I had a look around. They're getting it prepared, actually, for a Robbie Williams concert.
That's not opera, Paul. Someone should have told
you. That's not opera, and but I would rather the opera. But it's a fantastic place. Very typically Italian. Fantastic squares to sit down and enjoy a fantastic meal and a Prosecco or an aperitif spritz, if that's your...
The thing about Italy, or Italy, is all of the gentlemen of Verona... sorry, had to be
had
said.
Had to be said.
But Italians generally are so courteous and they treat you so well. I love being called signorina, although it's patently clear that I'm not a miss or a girl, but they know how to make a woman feel like a girl.
It's just a very relaxed, a very, very nice vibe about the place. But also with Verona, it's situated in such an area that within an hour and a half, you can get a direct train from Verona to Venice, and then take the water taxi for another half an hour, and then you're into Venice. A totally different atmosphere, absolutely bustling, but an amazing place to see. It's going up there, it just felt like you were entering a film set. It didn't look real. But there you've got the fantastic St. Mark's Square with the Basilica and the Doge's Palace, the gondola. I have to say, I did do the gondola trip. It was well worth it. And also, in under 2 hours, you can go to Milan, the fashion centre of Italy, you know, again with La Scala, another opera house. You've got elegant shops, fashion shops, just people watch, easily to do, and you've got the cathedral as well, and also that wonderful Italian wine and food. So you can easily do a three city centre holiday for 5 nights, easily done. a fantastic introduction for me to Italy.
You're really selling it to us.
The prices are good, though, Paul, aren't they?
The prices are good. I mean, I went and it was £200, just under £200 for 3 nights per person.
Wow, that is good.
I mean, obviously, you go sort of, if you went to Verona when the opera's on, the prices will go up.
Yeah,
but
course,
other than that, it's a very reasonable place and it's a good base to go and go and discover other Italian cities.
Can I ask, was this just like for leisure for yourself, or is it something to do with work? I'm just going on the way you're trying to sell it.
No. This was complete and utter my own leisure holiday. I've always wanted to go to Italy, never have been in all my many, many years in the travel industry. Italy's one place I've never managed to go to, so my wife and I decided, without the children, with another couple, and it was a fantastic long weekend. So that's why I'm full of Italy at the moment.
I've never been to Italy myself either, but maybe one day.
Well, I've been to a fair bit of Italy, actually.
Ooh.
But I think the thing is that wherever you go in Italy, there is history. And it's interesting because that history is there. Restaurants are not badly priced at all. And the food is just so much better than you expect it to be, because we have, just as we have chicken tikka because it's made for us, because we don't really like these foreign foods type of thing, the way we tend to have things like a carbonara or a bolognese and so on. I mean, it's just like the tip of the iceberg of real Italian food. We don't have the things where you're getting big chunks of fish or big chunks of meat. You know what I mean? We're not having like beef with a, you actually can have beef with a tuna sauce, which is just exceptionally exquisite, washed down with a little Chianti.
And the wine is another thing altogether fantastic. I would advise anyone never to be thinking about going, make it happen. It's a fantastic place.
Okay, yeah, you've sold it to me. If only I just had the money now. Anyway, Joe and Paul, thank you very much for popping into the Susie studio again. We'll catch up with you again soon, I'm sure. I'm Tess Lucy. This is Susie Radio.